state of Colorado in the interests of Daniel H. Collins, minor. It is hereby charged that on the night of January 10th, one Daniel H. Collins did forcibly and illegally enter the premises of the Marietta Wholesale and Supply Company in 1900 Bond Street in the city of Denver, Colorado, for the purpose of committing grand larceny, a felony, and it is further charged that the said defendant was apprehended.
This is The Biggest Heart, a program for and about you, the people. A program to bring you the little-known stories of those who devote their lives to doing for others. Presented each week at this time by Fred Ward, Hudson dealer and distributor, and your neighborhood Hudson dealer. And now here is Pete Smythe to tell you about tonight's person of The Big Heart.
Thank you, Bill. Hello, everyone. You know, the language we heard at the beginning of this program is rather cold and impersonal. Still, it's the fair and legal way, designed by you and me, the electors of a democracy. Yet, such language strikes terror into the hearts of youngsters who have gotten themselves into trouble. Our biggest heart tonight is a man who adores kids, a man who has put a heart and soul into what we know as the grim process of the law. A man who has learned to make himself a partner of small fry all the time, when they're at the top of the heap or when they're up to their ears in trouble. We're happy to present the story of Denver's nationally famous juvenile court judge, Philip B. Gilliam. You hear it on all sides these days that Denver is growing up perhaps too fast. We worry that soon we'll have an atomic plant, that we might become a prime target of an aggressor. But what about the problem from within, that of juvenile delinquency, which can grow apace with the expansion of our city? Now, happily for us, Phil Gilliam lives the problems of our kids day and night, and he's been doing it for years. How does he do it? Well, suppose we take an example. Let's go into the history of one Danny Collins, a name, a number, an incident on the police blotter.
Jones, my mother's here. What do we got to eat? Peg! Peg! Oh, Casey Jones.
I can't help it. I don't have money to throw away. Oh, so you're home. Drunk again, I see.
Sure, I'm drunk. What do we got to eat?
What do we got to eat? What do we got to eat? All you think about is... Danny, get away from my purse!
I just want a quarter. You can let me have a quarter, can't you?
Get your filthy hands out of my purse. Ask that drunken bum for a quarter.
How about it, Pop? Could you let me have a quarter?
I haven't got a quarter. I just want some meat.
You stupid jerk. Have you spent all your check?
Sure, I spent it.
So you spent it all in a two-bit bar before you got home. We haven't even got food in the house.
That's right.
And what about my permanent? Thought I was going to get some money for
you a permanent. You don't need a permanent.
Why, you... good for nothing.
Mom, let me have two bits, will you?
Shut up, you little fool. You're just like
you. You quit talking to your son that way.
My son?
Yeah, your son. You quit talking to him.
Listen,
like
you stupid bum. Don't call him my son. You're the one that wanted the little criminal, not me.
Shut up and give me some meat before I beat your brains
out. Who are you telling to shut up? I have a good mind to walk out on you and this filthy little
son. I said shut up now before I slap your head right square off your shoulder.
Unwanted, not belonging in his own home, Daniel H. Collins, age 14, takes the natural step. He joins a kid gang. Those are the forehead brands and the initials carved into the skin. He joins the legions of car prowlers, hit-and-run window smashers, and petty thieves. For he must have that quarter denied at home by a selfish mother and a drunken father. And then, one night... curtain going up on bigger stuff.
Gosh, Mike, I'm getting scared.
Don't be such a sissy. This is a cinch.
I know, but we're making an awful lot of fuss.
Can't nobody hear us. Say, what you come along for if you're going to be such a crawfish?
I ain't no crawfish, Mike. I just want to know...
You're just what?
Guess I'm a little nervous. First job, you know.
Yeah, you'll get over it. Guess a man's got a right to...
Say, Mike.
Huh?
What if we get caught?
Get caught? Ah, you get talked to a lot. Then maybe probation, maybe not. Maybe you do a little time.
Gosh.
Oh, it ain't so bad. Good food, good beds. You'll meet plenty of good Joes, learn a lot. And you always got a chance to bust out. Here, give me that chisel. A few more licks here and we'll be through.
Yes, Danny is caught and is referred to juvenile court. He is incarcerated, if you would call it that, in juvenile hall. And incidentally, you should see juvenile hall. That which once was a common jail, but now, through the efforts of Phil Gilliam, a clean, pleasant place for holding young offenders. See it, and try to hold back the tears when you do. But to go on with our story now, let's look in on a judge with a big heart who was having lunch with a 14-year-old youngster in a heap of trouble.
Well, Danny, you kind of messed things up, didn't you?
Yeah, guess I did.
What's the matter, kid?
Just got caught, that's all.
Boy, I'll say you did. Your folks treat you all right, Danny?
Oh, they're all right. Except maybe...
Except what?
Could you and me just talk a little like a couple of guys and it wouldn't be like tattletaling?
Sure, you betcha, Danny.
Well, it's my old man. Of course, we never did have much dough, but that didn't matter much. He used to help me make things, and we used to go out to the park fishing or ice skating. We did a lot of things together and had a lot of fun, even if he was busted. And then he started hitting the bottle and cussing at me, like...
Mm-hmm.
And at me,
I
and things
see.
Like that.
I see, Danny.
And I reckon things are just all fouled up regular. Sure wish she'd stop boozing.
Mm-hmm. And your mother, Danny?
She's okay. Except she's always fighting with Pop now.
Oh.
And she talks rough at me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just like she didn't want me around. Hmm. She didn't used to talk like that, telling me I'm no good and a thief and all that. Judge, I don't think she likes me anymore. Things ain't like they used to be around our place.
Vital information in the rehabilitation of Daniel H. Collins. Information gained because a judge with a big heart takes the trouble to have lunch with a youngster. You see, no matter what kind of parents Danny had, rich, poor, drunkard, immoral, criminal, or cruel, they are his only tie, his only evidence of belonging. Now, Danny would never have talked this way about his parents in their presence. The judge is very careful to keep family relationships intact. Now he holds Danny's trial. Charge is read, not by the judge or probation officer, who are to be Danny's friends, but by an impersonal officer. A full report is given, based on an investigation of Danny's home, school life, health, past record, any association that is pertinent. And then, depending upon a judge's keen perception, very often an ending like this.
Well, Danny, what in the Sam Hill do you suppose made you do it?
I don't know, Judge. I just don't know.
Well, what do you think we ought to do about you?
Don't know that either, Your Honor. I know one thing.
What's that, kid?
I don't think I'd do it again.
I don't think you would either, Danny. Well, according to all the reports, except for this one slip, you're a pretty good guy. What do you say we put you on probation?
That would be mighty fine, Your Honor.
All right. Now listen to me, Danny.
Yes, sir?
Now, probation is not punishment. It's an opportunity to work with some of my friends, probation officers who are trained in helping out guys like you that sometimes get tough breaks.
Yes, sir.
Now, that doesn't mean they're going to do all the work. Now, you've got the biggest job of all. You've got to work and work hard. If you fail, Well, I'll have to do something I don't want to do. Now, what do you say, Danny? Do you think that you can work with us and help straighten things out?
Your Honor, you bet I can.
Does the cure work? Yes, in a great majority of cases, according to official court records. In most cases, parents, too, realize the errors of their ways and cooperate fully with the court. And what about permanency of the cure? Well, suppose we look in once again on Danny and the judge. Time? 6 months later.
Well, what's that gimmick you got there, Danny?
That ain't no gimmick, Judge. Huh? That's a bookend.
Oh, I see. Who's it for?
Made it in school. Hmm? Thought maybe Mom might want a pair in the front room.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. But how'd you get the different woods to match up so nicely?
Over at the manual training class. You slosh glue over them, see?
Yeah.
Then you put them together and stick them in a press. Next day, you take them out and smooth them up with a plane. Cinch, see?
Yeah, that's fine. Well, that's the manual training class over at school.
That's right, Judge.
I see. Say, I hear you're going to try out for the band.
Well, I was, Judge, but I guess not now.
Oh, well, why not?
Trombones don't grow on trees, Judge. I mean, well, I haven't...
Well, I thought you and your pop were saving up to get yourself one.
We are, but we figure it's going to take 3 more paydays. And practice starts next Monday.
Mm-hmm, I see. Well, say, Danny, how'd you like to pick out a horn today and let the court pay for it? You could pay it back a little each week, say a couple of bucks. How'd that be, huh?
Oh, boy! Oh, man, Judge! Could I really? Yahoo!
So much for Daniel H. Collins, young citizen. A boy going places because he was lucky enough to run into a judge with a big heart. And now, without appearing to set a pattern, let's take a look at what can and sometimes does happen on the other side of the tracks from where Danny lives. Her name is Jeannie. She's a pretty girl, educated, intelligent. Everything she ever wanted was given her. That is, everything except parental guidance and attention. You see, Jeannie's parents are too busy making money and keeping up with the Joneses. And Jeannie has run out of thrills.
Sure, I stole the bracelet. I've done it a lot of times at a lot of different stores. So what? My dad will get me out of this. He always does. You just wait and see.
And at the same time Jeannie is telling off law and order, something like this can be going on at Judge Gilliam's family court.
I understand you have my daughter in jail just like a common criminal. How dare you pull a stunt like that?
Your daughter is in very serious trouble, sir.
Listen, you. All that high and mighty talk is all right for the slums. But you've gone too far this time. Do you realize who I am?
I certainly do, sir. You're one of the city's most prominent citizens. You're a member of an old, highly respected family.
Then how in the name of heaven can you take it on yourself to treat my child like a criminal?
Jeannie's not being treated as a criminal. She's a child in trouble, and we're treating her as a person who needs help.
Well, I don't care what she's done. I want her out of that jail right now.
Well, that's exactly what we want.
Well, let's see you get busy. I've got my lawyers here. You just tell them what to do and they'll do it. The main thing is to get my daughter home. And in the future, if you value your reputation, I'd suggest you be a little more careful about who you arrest and throw in jail just like a common thief.
Can it be that a child of good family, one who has had every opportunity and material thing she wanted, can it be that such a child would stoop to thievery? The answer, all too often, is yes. But why? Well, let's let the judge ask the father.
Well, now, tell me, sir, when was the last time you took your daughter to a movie?
Oh, months ago, Judge. She likes musicals, and I hate them.
Have you ever helped her with her lessons?
My dear sir, I am president of a corporation that does $3 million worth of business a year. I'm hardly concerned with 10th grade algebra.
Yes, I see. Well, How long has it been since your wife went somewhere or did something with your daughter?
Well, couldn't have been last night. We were out playing bridge. Night before that, there was the garden club meeting. Tuesday night, we were at the country club dance, and the night before that... Well, oh yes, my wife went to this lecture on something or other. Gosh, I can't say when it was.
Well, just what, if anything, have you done for your child lately?
Why, Jeannie was in camp all last summer, and lately I've been so busy, I haven't been able to see very much of her.
Was it a good camp?
Well, it should have been. It cost me $90 a week.
Now, this is not to say that all parents from the poor side of the tracks are cooperative, or that all from the well-to-do side are uncooperative. But it is to say, as Phil Gillam has found in 16 years on the bench, that parental love and guidance and discipline and eagerness to share and sympathize in a child's defeats as well as his victories, this and an avowed obligation to give a child a sense of belonging, all these are the greatest weapons, with no price tag, against delinquency in children. For further proof, one last look at the record.
Case number 1506, A.G., age 17, convicted on March 20th of armed robbery. Probation report, parents separated. Father in penitentiary, mother previously picked up twice on vagrancy charges. Circumstances, poor. Case number 1716, L.T., age 16. Sentenced to a state reform school April 15th for car prowl. Probation report, child admittedly unwanted. Both parents agree child is mean streak, bound to come to harm. Circumstances, upper middle class. Case number 1308, C.B., age 15. Charged on March 6th with shoplifting. Placed in custody of welfare division. Probation report, mother an alcoholic, father dead. Circumstances, destitute. Case number 1706, J.H., age 16. Convicted July 12, automobile theft and assault. Probation report, child not disciplined. Lack of home guidance apparent. Circumstances, wealthy.
Could it be that there was priceless wisdom in the mind of the child who said,
a juvenile delinquent is a person who acts like parents.
In just a moment, tonight's biggest heart in person. But first, a message from the sponsor of this series, Fred Ward.
$5,450.
$5,450.
$5,450.
That's the total cash value of prizes to be given in Fred Ward's big Hudson Hornet contest now going on.
The response to this contest has been so great, Fred Ward has added 14 additional prizes so everyone may have a better opportunity to win.
First prize,
1951 Hudson Hornet, plus free trip to Detroit to receive your prize right from the factory.
Second prize,
$500 credit on the purchase of a new 1951 Hudson.
Third prize,
$400 credit on the purchase of any of the four rugged series of 1951 Hudson.
Fourth prize,
$300 credit on any new step-down design Hudson for 51.
Fifth prize,
$250 credit on purchase of any 1951 Hudson, the Pacemaker, Super 6, Commodore, or Hudson Hornet.
10 additional prizes of $100 credit on a new or late model used car.
If you have already entered this contest, you are automatically eligible for these additional prizes.
If you have not as yet entered this Hudson Hornet contest, do so first thing tomorrow. Get complete details and entry blanks at Fred Ward Incorporated, 1300 Lincoln, Denver. you may win one of these 15 wonderful prizes, which total $5,450.
$5,450.
$5,450.
$5,450. Total cash value of prizes to be given in Fred Ward's Big Hudson Hornet Contest. Enter it now.
Very handsome gentleman standing just across the mic from me this evening in the very sharp suit here. I think it's flannel. Seems like an old friend here on the Biggest Heart Show. He was here to present the scroll to Sam Aggins way back at the first of the series. And he was here to present the scroll to Bill Mitchell, who was one of his probation officers at the court. Phil Gilliam. I can't help but call him Phil. I just can't call him Judge. And I think that's the way everybody feels. Phil, it's good for you to come down. Good of you to come down.
It's awfully good to be here, Pete.
I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. I'm waiting for a very important person. I had a big surprise for you tonight. And we have about 7 minutes to kill right here, Phil. So if you have any political speeches to make or anything, well, you can go right ahead. She may not arrive, and I'm going to spring the surprise anyway, Phil. But is there anything you'd like to say about the story this evening?
Why, yes, I would, Pete. I'm overwhelmed by the honor bestowed upon me in this program tonight. The thing that bothers me no end, of course, is the fact that, you know, Pete, I get so much credit for a lot of good things in town, and you have to remember there are 43 employees of the Denver Juvenile Court. These people are very well trained. They're very fine people. They work very hard in connection with their position. And then again, there are over 100 social agencies in the city of Denver that work in connection with the juvenile court in solving many of the problems that come up before the court. And, you know, it's wonderful to be in a position like this to receive this honor, but really I receive it more or less as a figurehead for all these people that work with children of the city. There's one man that I'm particularly interested in, and that was the founder of the juvenile court system. That was Judge Ben B. Lindsay. You know, Pete, he died a few years ago. And before he left Denver, he got into quite a bit of difficulty. But you know, to me, he was a great hero. He was a little short, noisy, feisty, one-man band. But boy, did that fellow have it. I could just see him as he took the bench, you know. In 1899, it was the people of the state of Colorado against John Jones. That's an awful lot of people to have against you at one time. Like one little boy said, Lord, what a majority. Ben Lindsay listened to the statements of the youngster, and he walked off the bench, and he said, you know, I'd like to have a court where the name of the action would be the people of the state of Colorado in the interest of Johnny Jones. And he had that philosophy. He traveled all over the world. He was very interesting. He had a job to do, and he sold the people of the world in the juvenile court system. Sometimes he made errors, and I don't agree with everything that he did. But before he died, he became a very a good friend of mine. He used to write me long letters. I remember the last letter that Ben Lindsay wrote was written to me. He died that same day before he could sign the letter. He told me about the progress that can be made in other courts. And he said, Judge, what you have now is only part of what will be. Just think of that. Pete, at 73 years old, I think he was 73. He was predicting what was going to happen in the domestic relations courts. To me, he was a great hero. And believe me, it's Ben B. Lindsay that should be receiving honors such as this tonight.
Well, Phil, in talking about the story over there to Mrs. Rose and Mrs. Hillier and some of the people over at the court, it's a funny thing. They said about the same thing about you. And I know that you're carrying on this great work that he started in a wonderful way. And just not to change the subject, because I want to get back to the surprise in just a moment, but we have a few things we want to do for you this evening. Not as much as we'd like to, believe me. But we always have the scroll, which you might put up in your office or in your barn or wherever you want to put it. It reads thusly, The Biggest Heart, Philip B. Gilliam, presented April 6, 1951 on the Biggest Heart program, Great People Carry Big Hearts. And now these flowers, we always have an orchid corsage, Phil. Now, what am I going to do with that?
Well, I've got a good idea, Pete. You know, Mrs. Mary Rose is the chief probation officer of the Denver Juvenile Court. She's in charge of all the probation officers. Mrs. Rose started with me about 12 years ago in the connection with the juvenile court. She's probably one of Denver's most prominent citizens. She speaks on a great number of occasions. She's certainly a brilliant person, and I believe it would be a good idea, Pete, to honor the women in the juvenile court by giving her that corsage.
Fine. We'll send the flowers over there. They're from Park Floral, by the way, Phil, 1643 Broadway. I know you go by the place on your way over to the courthouse there, City and County Building. Grano and Blake, there's a letter here from Walt Blake at Grano and Blake, and if you'll take the letter in, he wants to talk to you, by the way. I think you already know him, and he has a beautiful gift from their most complete gift stock down there. Grano and Blake, 1653 Welton, their manufacturing jewelers. Clyde Jackson is here, as usual. He's been here all the 26 weeks, 25 tonight. And Clyde Jackson runs the C.A. Jackson Photo Service, and he's here to put us on glossy finished paper, you know, so we can have some pictures of what goes on tonight. Golden Lantern, that's right near your place over there. You might go over there for dinner some evening. There are tickets to dinner. Take someone. Broadway near 13th. And I don't know who does your laundry, but here's a letter which entitles you to $15 worth of cleaning or laundry, and that's from Goodhart's, the laundry with the heart. We didn't exactly know what to give you, so we asked Mrs. Hillier over at the court there, and she said, I don't know either, so we have a $25 gift certificate from Gaino Downs for you from Fred Ward. Now, here's the surprise. I haven't got enough time, as usual, to tell you about it, but you know the other day when we went out to Juvenile Hall, and we walked up the steps, and you said, it is a beautiful building, I know, but you said one thing. You said, gee, if I could only figure out a way to have this place landscaped and have it look, I want to make this the most beautiful place in the whole world, which it is almost now. Well, there's a lady here in town. Her name is Helen Fowler, and she owns and operates Shadow Valley Gardens. We hope she'd be here this evening, but she couldn't make it. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. And I'd like to get loose with a shovel out there some night. But anyway, she has fine perennials, the finest, and rock garden plants and all kinds of flowers. She makes a specialty of regal lilies and peonies and special plants for shade and all. And ferns, anything you want. Well, Mrs. Fowler went out to look at the hall the other day while you were out of town, and she has planned a special deal. She's going to make that the most beautiful place and going to promote the whole thing for you, so you'll have evergreens at the door and just everything that you want. And we're going to work with you on that, Phil. And I know that's your pet project, so that was our surprise.
Pete, I'm delighted. And I want to thank Fred Ward and KLZ and everybody that took part in this presentation.
Well, fine, Phil. Thanks for coming down, and I'll bring my shovel, and we'll plant that first one together, will we?
We sure will.
My personal congratulations. May there be more like you.
If you'd like to suggest some big-headed person to be featured on this program, The Biggest Heart, just write a letter to Fred Ward, KLZ, Denver. Letters will be judged on what the person with the biggest heart has done. So be as complete as possible. On behalf of Fred Ward, I want to thank the following: Park Floral, Grano and Blake, Jackson Photo Service, Golden Lantern Restaurant, Goodhart's Laundry, and Shadow Valley Gardens. Our cast tonight included Barbara Peters, Dick Wolhoff, Johnny Zoll, Jim Herrick, and John Connors. The Biggest Heart was directed by Clayton Brace, with music by Art Gow. This is Bill Jones inviting you to listen next Friday night at 7:30 when Fred Ward Incorporated will present another program in this series saluting The Biggest Heart. Take a Hudson holiday. Order your new 1951 Hudson at Fred Ward's or your nearest Hudson dealer. Make arrangements to go on the Fred Ward special to Detroit and pick up your Hudson right from the factory. Save the freight charges, get factory delivery, get a trip to Detroit. The Fred Ward special train leaves Denver Sunday, June 17th at 5:30 p.m. See Fred Ward Incorporated, 1300 Lincoln, or your nearest Hudson dealer.